This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Tuesday, the 20th of June. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. And I'm your host, David Gale.
And I'm Tess Binns. On tonight's show, we'll speak to Murray Clare from Drummond Street Services Q Respect about domestic violence within the LGBTI community.
And later on, we'll be chatting to Matthew Parson and Russ Vickery about Russ's one-man show coming up in July, My Other Closet, The Cabaret.
But first, we're going to take a look at the burgeoning issue of homelessness. 2.5 million Australians are living below the poverty line and more than 105,000 Australians are experiencing homelessness. Behind these numbers are real people doing it really tough. In a bid to wipe out homelessness, CEOs around the country are lending a hand by participating in the annual Vinnie's CEO Sleepout. We're joined this evening by Executive Director of Telstra, Ben Burge. Ben, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Ben, can you tell us a little bit about your involvement with the event? What first personally inspired you to take part in the Sleepout?
I'm a bit ashamed to say that originally I got dobbed in, but once I was in, I got hooked on the human stories associated with this, with this community, and the quick realization that homeless people are just, they're people like you and I who happen to be homeless, and some of the stories are so close to home, it's frightening. And so, the human story was what kept bringing me back.
And are these sorts of stories, do you get to share them with each other at the event itself? How do you actually learn about these, backgrounds of people?
Yeah, well, it's the great thing about the Sleepout is that it's an introduction to the broader dynamics at play. And so there's an opportunity to talk to other people who've experienced homelessness. There's an opportunity to talk to people who work to support those who are homeless. And really from that, that stepping stone, there's really just a range of different things that you can get involved in, and it becomes quite addictive.
Ben, look, I'm driving home in my car at the moment and I'm just thinking, look, there's homeless people. I know it's an issue. I know it's a problem. Why don't they just go and get a job? That's the sort of attitude I think many of us might have because, we're going home to our safe places. What's the shift in mentality where you start to think about these people as human beings, I suppose?
Yeah, there's a fantastic study that was done, or a book that was written recently called Scarcity. Mm-hmm. And it studies this concept that mental bandwidth gets consumed by things that are beyond our control. And in fact, what they worked out was in some quite controlled studies is that the experience of homelessness itself is a tax on mental bandwidth, equivalent to being drunk, or being deprived of sleep. And so the thinking that homeless people are hopeless is completely missing the point. So being in the situation of homelessness, you know, itself taxes the capacities of otherwise very capable people. So if you go out on a Vinnie's soup van tour any night of the week, which I highly recommend, it's a fantastic night out. The reason that it's a fantastic night out is that you get an opportunity to meet really entertaining, engaging, intelligent and funny people who just happen to be homeless. Right? And the concept of being so proximate to their lived experience, all of a sudden it doesn't seem that far away from your own situation. And that is what is both frightening and powerful about the homeless story, because it's not about cash. It's not just about cash. It's about human connection and the loss of human connection.
Ben, you mentioned recently in an article that there's a significant proportion of homelessness among the LGBTI community. Why do you think that is?
The good news is that the amount of research available on this stuff is, it's much better than it was a few years ago. So it's something that I've been, kind of invested in for a while now. And I think the one thing that, I've got two kids, and I think about, kids who grow up and go through adolescence and are, discovering themselves broadly, but also their sexuality. That is a time of heightened vulnerability, and if your discovery of who you are, and you're concerned about whether that is going to be fully accepted by the people who you love and who you have come to enjoy their love, then that is that can be a really debilitating dynamic, and it shows up in the data, like the. There's a massive proportion of people of LGBTI folks who end up homeless, who in their journey have become disconnected from family support.
Is that because family have shunned them, have decided, that they don't want to know them because of their sexuality?
I'm sure that's a factor. And to be fair, it's sometimes a function of parents not knowing how to engage. And so one of the things that we really focus on at Telstra is how do we set up an environment in which people can feel completely safe, where they can choose to bring their whole selves to work?
Yeah, in fact, we were actually talking about that last week, because we had the people from Pride in Diversity talking about workplaces, and we had some people from also PwC talking about the policies that large corporations are putting in place. And, we take our hat off to Telstra for being one of the founding partners for Pride and Diversity, and it is to do with being comfortable. And that's not only just in a corporate sense, but it's also in a family sense, such as we're talking about at the moment. We take our hats off to all the large corporations that do that sort of thing.
Well, one of the things it's both amusing and challenging is sometimes you get the pushback on, we don't want to sexualize the workplace. Right now, if you think about any workplace in which you feel welcome, most people will bring a family photo to work, right? When that is the case, then the workplace has become sexualized, full stop. So this is not an issue where you can say, well, I don't want to sexualize the workforce, or the workplace, therefore I'm not going to engage in inclusion. That's just the reality.
Yeah.
So how do you feel, what are some of the other ways where you actually integrate your commitment to the homeless in the workplace at Telstra, apart from perhaps, I guess, education?
Yeah, well, I think on the LGBTI front, the main focus is looking at the causal chain that leads people into homelessness. And we know that and the same sort of applies at schools. If you can create an environment in which people feel, conspicuously included and part of the family, then we know that alleviates the risk of becoming, disconnected from community and therefore at risk of homelessness. So we like to really focus on the causation of those risk factors. In terms of those who've become homeless, then, we try and encourage people to get out on, super vans, get into the community, engage with these people who happen to be homeless.
Yeah.
You know, they're not a separate category. They're not some, they're not disconnected from us. They just happen to be without a roof over their head for a bit.
Mm.
I don't think we often think of as executive directors as people that we can really necessarily relate to. But obviously you're leading by example within your corporation. I mean, at the same time, you could just donate to, St. Vinny's or one of the other charities. You're being very demonstrative with this sleep out. What are you expecting to raise personally? Do you have a target at all? Or
Yeah. So I've been doing it for sort of 6 years now.
Yeah.
And we usually hit sort of the $10,000 mark each year. I'd like to kind of push it a bit harder this year. So that's to the extent that your great listeners could jump onto the website and chuck us a few bickies, that'd be awesome.
We'll certainly put some links up in the podcast, of course.
That'd be fantastic.
And also that article, we'll certainly have that homelessness, sexuality, and cheddar. Yo, you feel me? We'll certainly be putting a link to that because it's a great article as well.
Mm. Ben, thanks so much for joining us this evening, and good luck with reaching your goal this Thursday. I hope it's not too cold for you.
Thank you.
I suspect it might be about 6 degrees, being a newsreader. I've checked the weather already. As David mentioned, if anyone would like to read your article, we'll be posting a link to it on our podcast of this evening's show, where, of course, you can listen to the show again on www.joy.org.au/The Informer.
Okay, now to The Informer, we welcome Mary Claire Machen. Mary Claire is from Q Respect, which is part of the Drummond Street Services. We've talked about other portions of the Drummond Street Services, which comes under the umbrella of Mary Health. Mary Claire, can you please tell us, what does Q Respect do?
We are working with the queer community, and in particular in Q Respect. What we're doing is working with anyone who's experiencing violence and abuse, both in intimate partner relationships and also in their families. And so that's very broad.
Yeah, it is. It is a very broad thing. But that's what we're here to talk about, really about domestic violence in same-sex GLBTIQ relationships. What sort of people come to you looking for help?
Oh, I think that's as broad as our community.
Yeah.
I think that what you will find is that abuse and violence happens way more than what we, than what we assume, and that it happens in all strata of our community. Like, it's just,
It's a big thing.
It's a really big thing, and I think the more that we open it up, the more we'll see it's there.
Yeah, because it's not talked about that often, yet alone in the broader community, alone when we're looking at it in GLBTIQ terms. Domestic violence takes on many forms, doesn't it?
It takes on so many forms that it's really, it's often hard to acknowledge it when it's happening to you. And like in the heterosexual community, there's coercion and threats, there's intimidation, there's emotional abuse, there's, isolating us from our families, there's physical violence, there's control, there's using your privilege. Like, it's just as broad, but then there's particulars as well for our community. And so one of the really obvious ones is if we're not out, what that means. And so we can have our partners threaten to go to our work and tell them about us. And we know that that's still unsafe for a lot of us. It's, we've just heard from Telstra and it sounds like it's a very inclusive organisation. But there's many organisations still now that we wouldn't all tell, we wouldn't be prepared to let people know about our, whether we're lesbian or gay or bi, trans. Like, so that's and withholding medication is another form of abuse that's particular often to our communities, that or using not only using withholding medication, but if someone is on medication, they might tell their partner that if you leave me, it'll make me more sick. And yeah. Like, it's just, there's so many forms of control.
Yeah, it's funny because we were looking at this issue last year when we were talking with Matthew and Russ last year about the performance that was coming up that they were working on. And, you know, just listening to you now, I mean, I just didn't realise there were so many different formats of domestic violence. And as you say, it's a very broad topic. So people come to Cure Respect. What sort of assistance do they get? Assuming that they actually make it to Cure Respect in the first place. I mean, it sounds really
And I
awful.
Think that's a really important point, assuming that they make it, because there aren't a lot of services for LGBTIQ communities. And so often if we end up in the mainstream, we actually are not eligible for a lot of their services.
Mm-hmm.
Or the mainstream don't know how to work with us. And so what you will get is somebody who will listen, who will do risk and safety assessments with you.
Yeah.
And then if it's a crisis situation and you need to leave, we will try our very best to find somewhere for you to be able to go. So, and we have a lot of information about the services, navigating the system, and what we can do to support you in that journey. But we also will work with you because often, as it is in mainstream or the general community, that you need to plan because there's a lot of control in abuse. And so often it's not getting out, but it's what can you do to plan so that you can do it safely? Because like in the heterosexual community, one of the most dangerous times is when you leave. Because the person then is starting to lose control. The person who's being abusive, they're starting to lose control. And so they will up the ante.
Yeah, and I suppose we have visions in our head of, you know, the father and the mother and the child, the children or something rather than the mother wanting to leave an abusive relationship. But, of course, this is just taking it one step further where there are two people of the same sex or whatever relationship they might have. So people can contact Cure Respect through the Drummond Street services. Is that a 9-to-5 thing or is it a 24/7 or what?
At the moment it is 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And what we're looking to do is work with mainstream and other LGBTIQ services about extending that out. But currently it is 9-to-5.
And if people were looking for 24/7 sort of help, if they wanted to reach out, who would you refer them to at the moment?
At the moment, I think that it's limited. And I have to be honest about that. I think that the police, if you need the police, if you're at that service, and I understand that it can be very hard for people from our communities to go to the police because we've had some really bad experiences with them. But that if you are that much at risk, it is the police that you may need to call, and they have gay and lesbian officers.
I was going to say, we're quite aware on Joy 94.9 that the GLOW officers are quite an amazing team and people are referred to them right away. Look, it's great talking to you. Just hang around for a little bit because now we have Matthew Parson and Russ Vickery. Now, Matthew, they're partners, but Russ has been working on a show with Matthew, which is a show called My Other Closet, The Cabaret. Now, we had you both in the studio last year talking about the show's development, and you were about to perform for a group of people. Tell us about the performance and what happened with that.
Hi. Yes. Last time we came on the show, we were talking about leading up to a particular version of the show where we performed the show within a full training day package. And that was exactly to address some of the issues that Mary Claire has brought up, that a lot of the mainstream domestic violence service providers are ill-equipped to deal with disclosures of domestic violence. And so people from the LGBTI community often experience homophobia and transphobia or intersex prejudice when they try to access mainstream services. So our last version of the play was integrated into a full training day. The play's been developed very specifically to provide insight and information and education around what the experience of same-sex domestic domestic violence looks like and feels like from the inside. But we also worked really hard with domestic violence professionals to ensure that we also address what's the commonalities between everyone who experiences intimate partner violence, as well as some of the subtle differences between what that might be like for a transgender woman or a transgender man or a non-binary person. And we kind of take the time to unpick each of those in a little bit.
So that was actually performed to health professionals, if I remember rightly, and also to police. So what sort of response did you get?
It was phenomenal, actually. We had a grant from the city of Yarra for that performance, and we had thought that we might get about 80 service providers attending. And within 48 hours, I had 300 RSVPs, so I had to go and beg the city of Yarra for a larger venue, which they were kind enough to give us. And that was phenomenal. We had a really great response from that. Some of the services who came that day have since done some really amazing work, like Wire now have a specific transgender inclusion policy that they have published on their website. And so, you know, you've got these services now understanding the issue better and working together with LGBTI services to improve what they're providing.
Yeah. Now, Russ, you're performing this show. My
yes,
Other Closet.
I am. Yes,
yeah,
I am.
Exactly. My Other Closet, the cabaret. Now, it's sort of a cathartic experience, isn't it? Because this is from personal experience as well. What can we expect in the show?
Well, this show was developed over, you know, a four or five year period, and it was it's my own story. So it was an experience that I had in a LGBTI relationship about a number of years ago. And ultimately what Matthew and I have tried to do is to turn a terrible experience into something that, you know, educates people, you know, lets them understand what, you know, domestic violence in our relationships actually could look like.
Because this is about the domestic violence that you suffered in a relationship.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, you know, whilst the show sounds all doom and gloom, it's actually not. It's,
well, I was going to say, you know, it's your sad story set to music. No, it's not complete doom and gloom, because it is, you know, a good theatre is thought-provoking. So we're going to learn something out of this show, aren't we?
It really is. And, you know, and there's also some funny moments in it. So don't sort of think that you're going to come in and you know, walk out feeling terrible. What I hope is you come into this show and you walk out feeling like, you know, that you're in a position to recognize some of the signs and symptoms of you know, domestic violence, whether it be in your own relationships or whether it be looking at your friends or family or whatever, and click into some of the things that, you know, you might be seeing and you know, really sort of get a bit of an understanding of what's going on and have a smile and enjoy the songs.
I hope so. Look, you know, we look at, you know, the last time we were talking, and you were married for many, many years. You had sons, I think, from memory, three children.
I have three children. You've got a great memory. Yes.
And then, of course, you left that marriage.
Yes.
And went into your first same-sex relationship, and that was the domestic violence relationship, which is quite amazing. And you would have been held and transfixed and suffered amazing abuse.
It was really interesting, and you know, to look at where we're coming today, because when I was in this relationship, I actually phoned a service, and they had no idea how to deal with me. Absolutely no idea how to deal with me. For me to try, and there was a stage where I actually tried to get away, but of course I had three young children with
me.
My only option was a homeless men's shelter to take my kids to. So I chose to stay and try and sort things out. So, you know, thank goodness, you know, there's money being put into it in Victoria now. And you know, that there are going to be services developed in Victoria to be able to support people in the LGBTI community.
Yeah, we can see that the Victorian government has added several million dollars more over the next 4 years towards LGBTI domestic violence. Mary Claire, how long has Q Respect been around as part of the services from Drummond Street Services?
It's very new. So Queer Space has been around for a number of years, and Queer Space has been working with abuse, violence and abuse within our communities. But there's a focus now on actually the naming it and bringing in more practitioners to work in Q Respect. So Q Respect's quite new, but Queer Space has been there, and Drummond Street's
been a leader. And Queer Space is being rolled out further into the northern suburbs under the Mary Health umbrella, because we were talking about that a couple of weeks ago as well.
Yeah, so that's Q Health. So we've got Queer Space, and we've got Q Health, Q Respect, and our Queer Space in general practitioners as well. So it's a very exciting time to be involved.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Look, we're going to put some podcast links, of course, to your one-man show, and we look forward to attending it. It's just after the Melbourne Cabaret Festival in July, and I think the dates... When are the dates, Matthew?
It's from the 15th to the 28th of July at the Bella Union, and you can head to our website, which is myothercloset.thecabaret.com. We also have a section of that website that has referral information to a lot of the services that have been described today. And I would say, just to answer one of the questions that was up a little bit earlier, if you do want to speak to someone about violence in a relationship that you're in, or that you see in a friend or family member, if it's outside of 9 to 5, if it's in 9 to 5, I'd highly recommend calling Q Respect. Outside of those hours, Q Life is also a really good space to go to. And they even have a service where you can open a web browser and have a chat, even if you're at work or something, in, you know, if you're in a heavily monitored situation where actually ringing a service provider might be a dangerous thing for you to do.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight on The Informer. Sorry to keep you waiting, but on the line at the moment we have Anthony Wallace. Hello, Anthony.
Evening, David. How are you, mate?
Anthony Wallace, of course, from Equal Love. Hey, something's happening this week. Thursday night, I believe, under the auspices of Equal Love. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we thought we'd come to the end of hearing the bile of once former tennis great, Margaret Court, but the Liberal Party have extended a kind invitation for her to be a VIP speaker at a fundraiser event this week, which is rather appalling. And we did give the Liberal Party some time to withdraw her after her recent very damaging comments. But no, they're welcoming her with extended arms. And we've put a call out to protest her commentary and the invitation the Liberal Party have extended her in giving her a platform for more hateful bigotry that has caused so much damage and hurting people of our community. And we will not sit by silent while this takes place.
Okay, this is happening. So the Liberal Party function now, is this the Sandringham branch of the Liberal Party, I believe?
That's right. So it's a candidate for the Sandringham branch, Brad Rosewell.
Right.
He was a former priest, so he may have had some relation with Margaret Court. So it's a fundraiser for that party, but we also believe that's also endorsed by opposition leader Matthew Guy, and some guests include Tony Abbott and Andrew Hastie and Kevin Andrew. So,
I would think, have you talked to the Liberal Party? You would think that they'd go, oh, look, you know what, maybe we should step away from this. You know, we support all sorts of things with our LGBTIQ friends. You would think that they would step away and they'd say, oh, look, you know, let's cancel Margaret this time. We'll get somebody else in.
Absolutely. Like, we generally thought that that the Prime Minister would put pressure, or that Matthew Guy himself would actually say, no, this is not a good move, and we certainly don't support her comments. But to think that they've actually done the opposite and announcing her as their special VIP guest, it's just appalling.
Okay, so this is going to be at outside the Athenaeum Club. What time is it on Thursday night that you'll be gathering?
So we invite people to come and show their opposition to this. After they finish work, we'll be congregating from about 5:30 in the evening. And We'll make sure that if Margaret Court will see lots of rainbows, and if she's hurried in some secret entry into the building, and she's she doesn't see us in her opposition to speaking, that she certainly will hear us.
I suppose it's more about standing against the hateful bigotry that's been coming out of the mouths of people like Margaret Court.
I mean, a lot of people say that this is an attempt to squash free speech. It's absolutely not. She's entitled to her opinion, but when you're given a platform and when the Liberal Party invite her to get on their stage and speak and they amplify her speech, they're actually endorsing her comments. And they're endorsing comments of, saying that we're like the Nazis, which is just appalling. Clearly she doesn't know her history. And saying the parents of trans children are bad parents. She's completely out of line, and this should absolutely not be given a stage. And she doesn't share the views of the majority of this country.
Okay, look, thank you so much. We will put a podcast link to the website for Equal Love. And if anybody's interested in going along, please pop along. And that's on Thursday night. Thank you very much, Anthony, once again on The Informer.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Well, that's it for another episode of The Informer. We'll be back tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. to bring you the day's big news. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform.
We'd like to thank tonight's guests, Ben Burge, Mary Clare, Matthew Parsons, Russ Vickery and Anthony Wallace for joining us this evening. And we'd like to thank our extended Informer team, including our panellist JJ, for putting together tonight's show. My name's Tess Binns.
And I'm David Gale. There'll be more Informer tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.